warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
This is the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And I mean it today. I say it, and I do mean it, but this is a special one. Because we have a lot to celebrate today. We're celebrating life. 40 Days for Life just kicked off this week.
Yeah.
This last week.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating life.
I'm a big fan of the 40 Days for Life campaign. You know, there's a lot of campaigns like this. For whatever reason, I have a personal attachment to this one. I feel like I'm a part of it. And I don't know why I feel that way. I mean, obviously I'm a part of it, you know, we're all a part of it. I just really like it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm. I love saving babies. You know what it is? I love hearing the stories about women who were on the way to the abortion clinic
but chose life.
And something happened and they changed their mind. And, you know, then they, 9-11 months later, bring this baby into the, you know, the center that helped them.
Right.
And said, you know, and it's just such a happy story.
Right.
I love those stories more than conversion stories.
I love them both.
Oh, I love them both.
And
I love them both, but I just love those the most.
Yeah. Those are awesome.
And there's a baby involved.
Right. A new life.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Yeah.
On a lower scale, much lower scale than that, this is our 75th episode.
Woo!
75. I can't believe you guys have been listening for... Well, some of you guys have been listening for 75 episodes.
It makes me feel old.
Well, you are old, dude.
Not as old as you. Old bones over there.
Yeah, that's true. So we have a special... We have a special segment... Or a special episode this go-around. We have a new drink. Oh, okay.
Doing some firsts.
We're doing some firsts. Yep. And so we launched our new website in April this year. And that was when we finally were able to like start pulling numbers as far as, you know, who was listening to our podcast and whatnot.
More accurate numbers.
Yeah, because before it was just
like gunslinging, shooting from the hip.
Yeah, we just didn't really know what we were doing and we didn't do things right. And so when we launched our website, we were able to get analytics, at least the best we can, on who's listening. And this last week, we hit our 100,000 mark for 6 months.
All right.
So
in 6 months.
In 6 months. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So shout out to all you listeners out there. Okay, if this is your first time, though, if this is your very first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, welcome.
You picked a good one to start on.
You picked a good one.
Now go back to number one and listen to all of the rest.
I hope you really paid attention to the warning, because this is high levels of manliness.
Super high, especially today.
Today is...
We're going to be talking about some manly stuff today.
Yes, extreme levels of manliness. But we do three things on the episode, every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. That's the first thing we do. This is the segment where we do that. The next segment, we highlight a man gear, something that any guy really wants, needs, desires.
Man stuff. Yeah.
And then the last two segments of the show, we talk about a man topic. A topic that's
man
related.
Stuff.
Man stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is the man stuff show.
So, okay. So our man drink, you know, this segment is our man drink. And this is a first for us.
It comes from one of our first...
I was going to say that. I'm glad you said that. Okay. So Andrew DeJoseph was like one of the first guys who reached out to us, I don't know, probably like our third episode or something, and was listening and like reached out to us about how he liked the show.
Yeah.
And I think he really was our first guy who reached out. And I was like, dude, Dave, there's a guy outside of Oklahoma,
like on the East Coast,
that's listening to our show.
Somehow somebody on the East Coast found our show.
Yeah. And
that really was mind-blowing.
It really was.
Just a few episodes in.
Yeah, it really was crazy. But Andrew has been, he's a Council of Man member. He's a good friend of ours. You know, the Council of Man...
Well, he's become a friend of ours just through the
through
Council.
Through the Council. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. The platform that the Council of Man provides is such a friendship. Like, you're able to make new friends.
Yeah. Really, that is so true. Like, I can't really explain it. In fact, I was just telling you earlier how I'm always just so impressed and proud of just everything that happens on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you, like...
Our private Facebook page, the Council of Man.
Yeah. The Council of Man page. I feel like, you know, it's like almost like they're our children, you know, not like you and I would have kids. And I laugh about that idea because the guys on there are just, they're way ahead of me anyway. You know, and so for me to feel that way, but just like when we started this page and we've got all these guys on there now and just the discussion that happens. So like someone said, hey, what's your guys' opinion about the filial correction for the Pope? Uh-huh. And all the responses I thought were very good, well thought out. None were inflammatory. They were just like honest, boom, sincere, yep. No drama, like. That was a good exchange,
right?
And that's just the way it gets. That's the way it is.
And it's happened like that many of times where a lot of our topics. So anyway, he sent us
the wine.
He sent us this wine. We're having wine. We're having wine for this episode.
Pia de Rosso wine.
Pia de Rosso.
Yeah, if you want to be more Italian.
And he sent it to us actually a couple months ago,
a while.
Maybe three
a while.
Months ago, four yeah. months ago. But we've been saving it. Because for a special occasion.
For something special.
And we figured that this episode would be
we got something very special for you today.
Episode number 75.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell them what it is, Dave?
Okay. So
we're also smoking.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if it just feels extra manly today, it's because Adam and I are sitting here smoking our pipes.
In the studio.
Because Haley and the boys are gone. Haley, I'm smoking a pipe in your house right now. And loving it. Anyway.
I'll have the windows open tonight, so it'll be fine.
I'm hoping that she finds out that we did this by listening to the podcast.
That would be fine.
Not just by walking in the front door and going, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So I hope I say this right. The name of this wine is Lacrima Christi, or Lacrima Christi, L-A-C-R-Y-M-A. Lacrima. It's Italian, so maybe.
Lacrima. Lacrima.
Yeah, I don't know. Something
is what I would guess,
which means the tears of Christ. And it's a Pia de Rosso grape. You know, like when you get a drink of Cabernet or a Pinot Noir or a Pinot Grigio, those names are not the names of a wine, they are the names of a grape. And so when you drink a Cabernet, you're drinking a wine made from Cabernet grapes. Many of you probably know that, a lot of people, though, don't. Know that
Dave,
about wine.
What would you say to a guy who said, you're drinking wine, isn't that kind of a girly drink?
I would say it's man enough for Jesus.
I mean, it's good enough for...
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish... for a moment there, I felt like I was on like one of those Thug Life YouTube channels. And when I said that, it's man enough for Jesus and like air horns are going off in the background. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And you got the sunglasses,
with like
the gold
the pixelated
chain.
Sunglasses, yeah. Like popping, like coming into the frame. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt right there.
Mm-hmm.
Did it seem that way to you,
dude? That was yes, absolutely.
To the hypothetical person that I was,
absolutely, without a doubt,
just wrecking, so to speak,
without a doubt,
yeah,
wasted, whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they say on those channels. So this is the wine. Why don't you tell the story about the tears of Jesus?
Okay, well, the summary that I gave you before we hit record, was that correct?
Yes, that was almost word for word correct according to the website, so I was very impressed. That's why I want you to do it.
Okay, well, I just remember this is what Andrew DeJoseph told me when he sent it to me.
Yeah.
So it really means, the Lacrima Christ means, Lacrima Christi means the tears of Christ.
Yes.
Okay. And the myth is, or the story behind it is
the legend.
The legend behind this is when when Lucifer fell from heaven, Christ cried, and the tears from God fell down onto this place in Italy and landed into this vineyard on the side of a mountain, or I think, or something like that. And it produced, it yielded wonderful grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they named the wine that they made from these grapes the Tears of Christ.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I mean, that is correct. Yeah, that's the legend behind the wine. And I think it's very good. It's a pretty manly wine, I think. It's got some smoky flavor to it.
Sure. I mean, full disclosure, I don't know how to drink wine. I mean, I know how to drink wine. I'm just not a wine connoisseur or a wino or whatever you want to call it. Like,
onophile is technical name for a wino.
Like, I'm more like, this is good wine, mm-hmm. or this is bad wine. That's about my knowledge of red or like wines that I drink. Haley is she's a wine drinker. She enjoys a glass of wine, and she's much more proficient at drinking wine and having the tasting notes, and this is what it's good paired with and all this, you know, other stuff. I'm not.
I learned from a wine connoisseur that you don't say, I would like another glass of wine. What you say, if you want to be sophisticated, is you say, I would like to revisit that wine. Let me revisit this wine.
Well, there's the music. So hang in there, because we'll revisit this conversation. Let's recapitulate. And we'll be right back. Hang in there. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Got a little distracted there, smoking my pipe. I was about to blow a smoke ring, and then I saw Adam pointing at me, and it's like, oh yeah, I have a job to do. So, welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are drinking Lacrima Christi wine, which is from Rome. Did we say that? Andrew, he got it when he was in Rome.
I don't know if he said that, but...
That's right, right?
I believe that's the story he told us. He said it to us like 4 or 5 months ago or something like that.
I mean,
so.
It's been a while, but I'm pretty sure that's what I remember. Anyway, it could be wrong. I could have totally made that up, but it's a good story.
It is.
Why let the truth get in the way of a good story, you know?
That's, I don't know.
Principle I have lived by. Okay, so the man gear today.
Are we jumping into it right now?
Let's see. Well, yeah, it's the second segment. I mean, it's what it's time for.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We are a little distracted today.
The second segment.
No, the man gear.
The man gear. The man gear today is an air horn. No. It is a handsaw.
It's a Thug Life gold chain.
No, it's a handsaw.
A handsaw.
A handsaw.
Pretty manly thing.
Yeah. I have...
Do you have a handsaw?
I have several.
Good.
I have different types. I have a miter handsaw. Mm-hmm. Which is my fave.
Have you ever chopped a tree down with an axe or with a, like...
Yeah.
Like, you felled a tree with an axe?
Yeah.
It is it's a lot of hard work.
It's a lot of mortification.
But it feels good.
It is.
When it starts cracking and falling.
Yeah.
Not the man gear for today, but...
No.
There's something similar to cutting through a big log mm-hmm. with a handsaw mm-hmm. as there is chopping down a tree with an axe. Like, they're both laborious activities, laborious.
You're right. And it's interesting that, like, you know, as guys, we feel when it's more labor intensive and we complete the task. I'm sorry. Siri just decided to weirdly put on my phone. Okay. Anyway, as men, when we complete labor intensive tasks, we have this more, a higher satisfaction in the job that we've done. And so, you know, it's just like, you know, okay, so for instance, you've ever worked outside all day long in the heat and you're dripping sweat, you know, you're exhausted, you've been working all day outside, and you get inside and you lay down, you sit down for a second to eat dinner or whatever, and you're absolutely exhausted, but you say, this feels good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just something that guys do. So,
in our world today, in our working life, most people, there are still many people who are laborers,
mm-hmm.
Whose work involves physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
But for the vast majority of us, that's not the case. Most of us work sitting down.
Right.
Unless you have a very desk and maybe you're like hip now and you stand up. But so resting can often mean working. Like sometimes if you sit all day, all week, and then you go and mow the yard or like do some hard work in at your house, it feels good. And often when I do that, because I sit at a desk, you know, I feel rested almost at the, you know, like that mm-hmm. moment at the end of the day when you're sitting on the couch, it's a good feeling. I don't feel tired.
Right.
I might be physically tired, but like my soul mm-hmm. feels rested.
Yeah. It's interesting. And you know, with the handsaw. So, I'm obviously a fan of the power tool, like miter saw, things like that. Cause yeah. it's very, practical and easy.
Yeah. So easy.
Yeah. But there is a,
and they're better tools. Power tools are just better tools.
Sometimes. Not all the time.
That is true. You are right. That is not always true.
That is not always true.
Like, when it comes to saws, though, like an electric saw is going
to
be
there's a craftsmanship
better.
Of being able to actually saw wood correctly. And you can get different angles, and you can get different, like being precise with a handsaw that you can't necessarily, depending on what saw, like power tool saw you have, that you couldn't get with a power tool saw.
Mm-hmm. So when you say that, to me, I wonder, are you talking about sawing or like carving slash whittling
on a
large scale?
I'm talking about like sawing.
You're talking about sawing something in half.
Yep. Or sawing it to a specific point. Sure.
Okay.
In the wood.
Now I can see that.
You know, like,
especially since most electric saws are round, whereas a handsaw is going to be straight across.
Right. Yeah. And you know, when you have a miter saw, even like a miter handsaw with the fine teeth on it, and it's just a straight blade, and it's a one way, it's like ripping motion. It's not like the teeth aren't like this, you know, crossed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's it's single. And so it's a ripping motion. It's a rip cut, and that it's just so precise. And so there's a craftsmanship of being able to, you know, whenever you have bending wood, a lot of times you have to have little slits in it to allow it to bend. And so you have to have exactly the right spots every time. It has to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you have to use a handsaw to do that.
Yeah.
So there's just something like, it's labor intensive. Absolutely. But you know, there's something about being able to create something with hand tools and say like, I just did this with hand tools that makes it feel more of an accomplishment for some reason than if I used power tools. Now, don't get me wrong. I like to use power tools.
Yeah.
But
there's also going to be times where a power tool is the better tool to
absolutely.
Use.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's just something about it that makes you feel more accomplished.
Right.
Because it's more of an art. It's more of like a craftsmanship project. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more of like, I created this, not necessarily like, the computer drew out a picture for me. It's I painted this,
mm-hmm.
You know. So I that's how I kind of feel about handsaws. It's like I don't want to do it all the time, but in specific instances,
for the right thing, yeah.
And the only way to do it with the right thing is by practicing it. Like you can't like it is a craft, so mm-hmm. you have to practice it and even do it even when times you don't feel like it.
Yeah,
you have to like make a habit of the good.
Yeah, virtue.
Mm.
So my family has a cabin in northern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Like been around in our family for generations. And one of the things it's decorated with is some old logging saws and
those are so cool.
Big drills, you know, because it's in this part of northern Michigan that was a logging area. And these saws, I'm pretty sure, were actually used in the logging in the area.
Yeah.
And just, they were left behind as, you know, stuff. So one of them is one of those big saws, a two-person saw.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, this was the peak of technology at the time when it came to cutting down some of these big trees. Mm-hmm. You know, just two guys sitting there going,
well, dude, anything that you
I mean, oh, God, you had to be a man.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine clearing a forest? You get one tree down and I'd be going, woo, like we got one. All right. 5,000 more to go.
Right. It's interesting though, like just a side topic or rabbit trail that we don't have to go down, but like everything that you look at around you right now at some point was the peak of technology.
Yeah.
It's just weird to think about.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I don't know. That was just weird to think. Like, I thought about that as you were saying that, and I was thinking, like, well, literally everything around us at one point was the peak of the technology.
Yeah, at some point, this was the best.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what the man gear is. I don't really have a whole lot more to say about the saw.
So, for the average person, what is the best use? I have a handsaw.
Yeah.
I basically never use it.
Really?
I mean,
the last time
I don't do a whole lot of woodworking, so right. Maybe there's not a lot of opportunity. But for me, it's just a utility saw that, oh, I need to cut something real fast.
Like, I got a limb that I.
But you know, like for most of the time, I have some big loppers that I can just go. I mean, I have some really nice. I don't know. Do you call them loppers? Is that what they are? I don't know what else to call them.
I don't know
but
either.
I think people know what I mean. That open real wide and. They've got long handles. I can cut through like a limb that's 2 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and go just, you know, you got to squeeze hard, but it cuts right through it, no problem.
Right.
So why would I get out the saw? I mean, and it's to the kind of the point where if it's big enough to the saw, I it's like, should just go get a chainsaw.
Yeah. Right.
Because, yeah, I can do it with a handsaw, but I could go get a chainsaw, cut it down, go put the chainsaw away
right.
faster. Than I could do with the handsaw.
Right. No, absolutely.
But I still feel like the handsaw has a purpose, has a place. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's also like mobile. Like you can like take it to your buddy's house if they need help.
Well, you know what the handsaw, the advantage it has, it never runs out of oil.
No, or gas or anything else.
And it always you don't have to worry about starting it.
No.
And chainsaws can be finicky.
Dude, I don't know why we can't make a good chainsaw that lasts for a while.
Oh no, we can.
Just seems like all the ones that
you just have to get a steel or a Poulan or you know maybe a Husqvarna or something. I mean you have to pay a lot for your chainsaw.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
You have to take care of your chainsaw.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's the part that nobody wants to do because a lot of times when you're using it, and you're out in the brush, and you didn't bring like stuff to clean it up with you. So you just put it back in the box and in the case and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time you go and open it and you go, oh look, there's still trees in here. I did not, this is all gummy now because I did not clean it.
That wouldn't be good.
And it won't start. Dang it.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Chainsaw would also be another good man gear sometime.
Have we not done a chainsaw?
I don't know.
I feel like we've done a chainsaw.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the man gear for today. It's the handsaw. If I know there's like the Catholic woodworker, you know, he would tell us probably a lot more insights about it. About the handsaw and his experiences with a handsaw.
Jonathan, post it on Facebook. What's the best use for a handsaw?
Let us know. We're going to get into mortification. I'm really excited about this topic. I'm dreading it. No, I'm joking. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. The 75th right now.
You see those smoke rings?
Those are pretty good. We're celebrating today since it is our 75th. We're celebrating with a wine that Andrew DeJoseph sent us. Lacrima Christi. Is it Lacrima? Lacrima?
I don't know. Look, I don't speak Italian.
Yeah. It's a nice red wine. We just got done kind of stumbling our way through the handsaw. And now...
my hands are bleeding.
Now, we're going to go into the man topic.
Okay, so this happens to us so much, where we'll like put together an episode and then just realize, dude, look at all this stuff that's coming together for this episode. So mm-hmm. today is our 75th episode. Mm-hmm. And so we decided, oh, we'll drink this wine. We've been saving the wine that Andrew sent us. We've been saving it for months. It's called Tears of Christ.
Right.
And we had incidentally decided we'd talk about mortification today. We decided we'd talk about mortification before we realized it was our 75th episode. Correct. So we're going to talk about mortification. Then we said, oh, it's a 75th episode. We should use, which we've been saving the wine for number 75. Mm-hmm. And so Tears of Christ on the day of mortification, and we're recording this today on St.
Vincent
de Paul's feast day, who is also like into mortification.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, it's just like all, I love it when a plan
like this comes together. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's really, yeah, it's just really crazy how that
Except
works.
We didn't plan it.
But. Yeah, we didn't plan it, but it just happens.
God is funny, though. He is the best with timing.
Yeah.
I think comics should study him. That's what I think.
That's a good
You
want
to talk about timing.
Yeah.
So start us off, because this is your idea and I like it.
Okay. So I actually came up, like, I kind of stumbled my way into this topic. I struggled with coming up with a topic this
week.
Head first. Wounded pretty bad.
Yeah.
I may be concussed.
I'll offer it up. Yeah.
But initially I was like wanting to talk about something. It's really funny because I was wanting to talk about something uplifting. Because, yeah. Which is really funny that this is what we ended up talking about. But, you know.
Let's talk about pain.
Yeah. But there's just so much junk going on in the world right now, you know, with just in the news, and then you throw in the sports with NFL and college basketball. And you have, you know, people siding whichever way it is with the correction with the Pope. And, like, I mean, there's just so much negative. Like, it just wore me out last week to the point where I was just like, this sucks.
You got to rise above, man.
Yeah, and so I was like trying to think of something like, hey, what's uplifting? Like, let's be something different than what's going on right now.
You know what's uplifting? Chocolate brownies. Every time.
Okay.
Eat your feelings.
Eat your feelings. That's mortification right there. So, so we're talking about mortification, and we figured out like it's a virtue.
It's a virtue.
It's a virtue.
Mortification is a virtue. Who knew? Turns out a lot of people knew that.
Yeah, St. Vincent de Paul calls it a virtue. Many call it a virtue. So mortification is it's an end goal in mind. You know, there's a final goal in mind with mortification. Mm-hmm. Mortification is the suffering, the offering up of suffering to root out the imperfections that you have in your life so that you may be complete in Christ and Christ lives in you. Mm-hmm. And thus you become more holy. Mm-hmm. It's a pursuit of holiness. Mortification is a pursuit of holiness.
Right. So what you're saying, what you mean by that there's an end in mind, is that it's not suffering simply for suffering.
For the sake of suffering.
Yeah, so that would be like masochist. That would be masochism. Yeah. You know, just, I want to feel pain. That's not what mortification is.
Mm-mm. No, and there's a lot of different levels of there's a lot of different types of mortification.
And mortification does involve pain, not always physical pain.
Right, because there's two different types of mortification. There's passive and there's active.
So we're kind of like starting at the top of the mortification flow chart.
Yeah.
And working our way down, they'd be divided passive, active. Okay.
So passive is like things that happen to you, not necessarily because of what, like, you know, you can't say like a hangover because I drank too much. That's not passive mortification.
That would be active. You did it to yourself.
That wouldn't. And I don't know if it'd be more.
It'd be incidental.
Yeah. Passive mortification is like sickness, and it's something that happens due to us living in this fallen world. So it's sickness. It's you know, natural disasters. It's possibly losing your job for no reason under your control, losing a spouse, death.
Well, okay, so that's not necessarily mortification, but you could offer it up as a form of mortification. So you have to engage the will.
The will, absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely. For so, it to be,
because I think that's an important key. It's not just like
something happened to you, and
it,
right.
You know, it's not like just terrible things happened to me, and wow, I must be very I must have the virtue of mortification a lot. No.
Right.
You have to offer it up.
Right, because that's what, you know, we started out with the definition of what mortification is, which is the offering up.
Correct.
Okay, so mm-hmm. so now passive offering it up would be something that happens to you, what that's out of your control, that, you know, it's incidental to us in this fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
And then active mortification is there's several different kinds, but it's what you place upon yourself or what you hold yourself to.
Okay, so fasting.
Fasting is like the obvious one, but there's like, you know, mortification of your imagination. Do you want to talk about this yet? Yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I mean,
yeah, we might as well. So there's mortification of imagination, which is like avoiding this interior monologue of these like fantasies that run around in your head that are not good for you.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, and I'm super guilty of this. When I have like a hold a grudge on somebody or something like that. You know, or I'm angry because they felt like that they did me wrong. You know, I play all these scenarios in my head of,
dude, I do this too, where I get like, oh, I should have said this.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have known what to say if I had said this.
Right,
I'd have been Mr. Thug Life.
Right,
with the glasses again.
Right, exactly. And it's like, if I ever confront them again, this is what I'm gonna say.
Tell them.
You know, that's not good.
No,
you know, that is not not good. That's not healthy.
No, it's not.
So the mortification of the imagination would be to void yourself of those temptations. Mm-hmm. You realize these are not going to make me in the pursuit of holiness. It's not leading me to the pursuit of holiness. Thus, I'm avoiding it.
Okay, so what is the suffering? You know, like when I think of mortification, I do think of a suffering, like a cross. You know, pick up your cross.
Well, you're offering up okay, so you're
sacrificing the desire to continue, you know, thinking about it. You say, I really want to keep thinking about this, and it's hard for me not to, but mm-hmm. I'm going to endure that difficulty. I mean, do you think that's the mortification?
Right, absolutely, because you're tempted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am, at least. Like, especially once it gets going in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempted. I want to play this out. I want to play this out in my imagination.
Or possibly the mortification would be in that moment to say, no, it's not that I'm just not going to think about this. I'm going to think about something good about that
avoiding.
Person.
Well, I think it'd be avoiding it completely.
Well, you know, a virtue is not just avoiding something necessarily. It's, you know, you should try to embrace the positive. So if you're having that conversation with someone like, oh, that guy, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, why don't you pray for him? You know, if it's going to be difficult for you just to not have that conversation in your head, you should maybe imagine, engage your imagination into his virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Think now, imagine about what is something that he is more holy than me in some respect.
Mm-hmm.
That would be hard to do.
That
would be a mortification right there.
That would be extremely hard to do.
And probably something that the saints do.
Yeah. Another one is mortification of the memory. And that's like avoiding useless recollections, which waste time. Like how much, like that's something that I do a lot. Hmm. I think of things that are just like time wasters.
Mm-hmm.
And which could lead us into more serious temptations.
Okay. Idle hands.
Mm-hmm.
Do the devil's work.
Right. Absolutely. So there's another one.
Okay.
So it would be avoiding that.
Okay.
And instead doing something good, which would be like praying or, you know, helping somebody, like, being an active Christian.
Yeah.
And then the next one would be like mortification of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that is?
I would say that is not seeking knowledge, which is above your state in life.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's basically what it is.
You know, so if there's somebody, let's say you have a coworker who got fired and you like, oh, you want, hey, what happened? Why did they get fired?
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to go find out, which is none of your business.
Mm-hmm. It's also like surrendering your own judgment on something. Like if the, you know, there's been times where it's like they're talking, a group of friends is talking about like something meaningless, really, but you think no, they're wrong, and they didn't ask your opinion, but yet you interject your opinion in this conversation say, no, it's this for because of this, this, and this.
So in that moment, you could the mortification could be
silence,
just to simply acknowledge, just say, yep, you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're talking about something meaningless, it doesn't matter. That's something Mother Teresa did. She wrote down 15 points of humility.
That's right. It's on my door at my work because I read it every day.
Yeah, it sits on my desk between my monitors. Mm-hmm. And one of them is something to that effect of even when you know you're right, acknowledge the other person. Like,
dude, that is so hard for me. I struggle with that all the time.
Yeah, because I am so smart.
Dude, I'm a lot more smarter than you. I'm super smart. I'm like way more smarter. I'm the smarterest.
So. Crickets.
When we get back, we're going to keep going on mortification. We're going to keep talking about it and ways that we can use it in our lives. Happy 75th. Happy 75th.
Yeah. Cheers to Jesus. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Over the break, I put on a hair shirt and attempted to take a nap on a bed of rocks while whipping myself, offering it up for Adam's sins. Didn't make much of a dent.
Yeah, you didn't go very far.
Lot of work for very little progress.
Would have been nice if you put a belt around you as well.
Oh, I had a cincher.
Oh, yeah. You did?
Yeah. It was on around my thigh.
Oh, okay.
Just like
both thighs would be nice.
Just like an albino assassin.
Okay.
Yep.
Welcome back. We're sitting here talking about mortification. That's the topic today.
I'm bleeding from many places over here.
Here's a Bible verse that I'm going to throw out at you. I want to hear what you have to say about it.
You throwing it at me?
Yeah, I'm throwing it at you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. This is St. Paul.
Okay.
He said, I'm allowed to do everything, but not everything is good for me. I'm allowed to do anything, but I am not going to let anything make me a slave.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's the spirit.
That's not it.
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, yes. I agree. I really think he's... Maybe using hyperbole when he says I can do anything, obviously, like...
Well, I'm allowed to do everything, and we are. We're allowed to, but that doesn't mean that everything is good.
I'm obviously not a biblical scholar.
But not everything is good for me. That's what he says.
Okay.
I am allowed to do everything, but not everything is good for me.
Right.
So the reason why we
he has free will to do everything.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So the reason why, the reason why we have mortification is because we have imperfections within us.
Mm-hmm.
And by offering that up, by mortification, it takes the imperfections that we have and unites to Christ's suffering on the cross. And we die to ourselves, thus not us living for us, but Christ living in us.
Mm-hmm. I do think this is a good opportunity to mention another famous line of St. Paul's is, talking about the suffering which is lacking in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ, that which is lacking in Christ's suffering. It's kind of a confusing and what sounds like heretical, but really it's we are the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and it's our suffering that is lacking. It's because he's the head, we're the body, and so we are suffering. The suffering that is lacking on the cross is ours when we do not offer it up to his, and join it to his redemptive suffering on the cross. So like, if you have suffering, you should be offering it up so that your suffering might become a salvific act for yourself and for others.
Absolutely. And we offer that up. We mortify ourselves of good things, not because we think that they're bad, Right?
Right.
Like, you know,
because if they were bad, it wouldn't be
offering it up.
Right. It wouldn't be meritorious.
Yeah. We do it because of the greater good.
Right. Sort of like priests taking vows of celibacy. The reason they take vows of celibacy is because marriage is so good.
Right.
That it says, this is so good, I'm going to forgo it for the sake of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a type of mortification.
Absolutely.
In and of itself.
Absolutely.
You know, that's like a lifelong fast,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. But I don't think we can talk about this topic without addressing the elephant in the room when it comes to mortification is like the self-flagellation.
I think it's really funny that you think this is the elephant in the room.
I think when people think mortification...
Because that is not, didn't even like, it was like 20 points down when I thought about mortification.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I think of. But okay. You've never seen any of the Dan Brown movies.
No.
Okay, so you don't even know about albino assassins.
No.
Yeah, well, they're real, just so you know, in the movie. But it's kind of a controversial topic about, you know, taking a whip and whipping yourself. Because on the one hand, is that good to just, you know, hurt yourself? You know, intentionally inflict pain upon yourself? Like, obviously, there are people who hurt themselves... and it's terrible. Like, there are people who cut themselves. That's not, like, you could never be a cutter for Jesus. You know, that is, you know, that statement just reeks of ridiculousness, okay? Because that obviously, those two things don't jive.
I thought you were smelling me smoking my pipe inside.
No, that doesn't reek. That is
of ridiculous.
Quite a lovely smell.
Okay.
But even St. John Paul II reportedly... whipped himself on the vigil of when he was going to ordain a priest. He would stay awake at night, mortifying his body and offering it up for the priest to be ordained. Okay, I just want to say this, right or wrong, like good or bad, however you feel about this, if you cannot take this upon yourself without the approval of a spiritual director, and I guarantee you, I don't know this for sure, but I'd be willing to bet a lot that none of the saints who have done this, and there have been many heavy hitters out there who inflicted physical harm on themselves in order to perfect their virtue, I'll bet you none of them did it without the approval of their spiritual director,
mm-hmm.
including St. John Paul II.
Right.
I'd be willing to stake so much.
Yeah.
I'd put up all my money that was true. But anyway, that's all I want to say about that, because
okay.
I think there's other types of mortification that are lesser known and more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we got to talk about, okay, the reason why we're all in the pursuit of holiness, and the only way to get to holiness, the vehicle in which you have to use to get to holiness is through self-denial, is through mortification. Because Christ gave mortification as a condition to be a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, if you're going to be a disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me.
Right. And that's the mortification. Yeah.
And that's mortification.
A mortifying act.
Right.
Mortification, the word means like putting to death. More comes from the word meaning death.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about putting yourself to death so that Christ...
Dying to self.
Dying to self so that Christ might live in more in you. And I think that there is a mortification that lines up with every vice. So look at
mm-hmm.
your life.
Mm-hmm.
What is your sin? What is your few mm-hmm. sins that, I mean, everybody's got them.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that you struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Think about them and then say, what is the mortification that is the answer to this?
Mm-hmm. And when you first start out, it's going to be hard, right? Mortifying yourself is hard. It's not fun.
No.
But just as, you know, when you're like, I'm raising my children right now and I'm telling them, nope, you can't touch the stove. It's hot. Don't touch the stove. And at first, they're always wanting to touch the stove.
Yeah, they want
to
touch the stove.
Because it's cool, and we're obviously doing something over here, so I want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep telling them, don't touch it. Don't touch it. And eventually, they don't touch it anymore. They don't even think about touching it any
right.
longer.
Yeah. Because it's almost like they've perfected the virtue. You know, the virtue is the habit of doing it, and the perfection of the virtue is that habit gets easy to do.
Right, exactly. I guess that was what I was trying to... articulate.
Right.
It's like,
but that's a good point, because God has just built the element of mortification into our nature, where you touch a hot stove, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And he, and like natural law, inflicts mortification on you in order that you may grow in the virtue of not touching the stove.
Right.
You know, so mm-hmm. that you might learn what is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that next time it will be much easier for you not to touch the stove.
Right.
Because you have been mortified through the pain, which is just God created as part of our world. So we shouldn't be shying away from this idea. This idea is like elemental to who we are.
And it's interesting that once you start doing that, it opens your eyes to more. Right. And I guess we'll still use this analogy, this stove analogy, which I'm just making, kind of going with
let's
the
just
flow
run,
of this.
Let's run with it.
But, you know, once you realize, oh, the stove is hot, I can't touch that. Well, then you realize, oh, the oven is hot as well. Oh, the fireplace, the fire pit outside, that's hot as well.
Right.
So as you learn and develop these virtues and through mortification, you realize other things as well. It's like, oh, well, I was, you know, I was struggling with chastity, you know, so I was working on that virtue. And then it's like, well, I was also really struggling with being a glutton. I was eating too much. And then, mm-hmm. oh, I was also like, you know, doing this and this and this. So it's like, it seems like that through the pursuit of the holiness and through mortification, it opens your eyes to realizing different sins that you wouldn't have realized otherwise.
Yeah. And just continuing the analogy, once you learn not to touch the stove, you can now learn to use the stove. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can say, once you know, I don't touch it, you can learn to use the stove properly. So once you learn the virtue of chastity, now you can learn to use the body the way it was meant to be used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you can, you know, use your body. You can, and I say use, you know, in you know, the best sense of the word, you can use your wife's body. And once again, I don't mean you're using her,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, you can use that chastity because you have learned the virtue. Once you, by not touching the stove, now you know what things are for.
Right.
Because you have the virtue.
And it's going to take discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take discipline for mortification. Like, you have to be like, at least for me, I have to be regimented about it, or otherwise it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have to have E5 Man, like E5Man.org. Go check that out. Or I have to do certain things. It has to be on my schedule in order for me to do it. Otherwise, I forget.
I agree. No, I'm the same way. If I don't have a schedule, if I don't commit to it on a, you know, like a frequency,
mm-hmm.
then it just, oh, I'll do it one time and I'll forget.
So moral of the story is mortification will go a long way in restoring the Christian identity in society today. You don't like what you're hearing on the news? Start mortifying, you know, start mortification, because it will go a long way. People of restraint are living witnesses of the gospel.
And the better you get at the virtue of mortification, the easier it becomes, the more you desire it.
Yep, absolutely. Man, this has been awesome. Thank you, Andrew, to Joseph for the wine. Happy 75th episode, Dave.
Woo!
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.